the great Jordan was nothing if not versatile. He'd played before lords and ladies, townspeople and villagers, and once even for a scar-faced man who claimed to be a prince in exile. Though he never actually said where he'd been exiled from. Jordan smiled, remembering. In those days, his bowl had known the heavy clunk of gold and silver and even precious jewels. His ears had rung to roars of joy and admiration from packed theaters and tearful pleas for just one more encore. But those days were over. The times had changed, and other names had risen to prominence as his had faded. And now he had to take his offerings where he could find them. The great Jordan showing his act to a few gawking peasants for a handful of coppers. There was no justice in the world, or at least none a man could learn to live with. He shook his head. It was getting too cold to sit around brooding. He set about transferring his props and scenery to the back of his small caravan. He gathered up his stage lights and counted them carefully, twice, just to make sure none of them had disappeared with some unprincipled member of his audience. He stacked the lanterns and lamps in their proper places, and then went back for his stage. It was supposed to break easily into sections, but Jordan had to struggle with each square until he was red in the face and short of breath. His scowl deepened as he laced up the caravan's back flaps. He shouldn't have to do menial work like this. He was an actor, not a carpenter. Jordan smiled sourly. That was his past talking. Stars might not have to do scut work, but actors did, if they wanted to eat regularly. And if nothing else, exercise did help build a healthy appetite. He set off down the main street, looking for a tavern. Late as it was by country standards, the town inn would still be open. Such inns always were. He didn't care if the specialty of the house was broiled demon in a toadstool sauce. He was going to eat it and ask for seconds. Halfway down the narrow street, his nose detected the smell of hot cooking, and he followed it eagerly to a squat, grimy building that looked no different from any of the others, save for a roughly painted sign hanging over the door.
The Seven Stars. Worth a shot. Hello? Anybody home? Hello? Is there anybody here?
Hold on, hold on! I'm coming just a moment!
It's one of you people. What do you want?
Good evening, innkeeper. I find myself in need of a room and refreshment for the night, and I hope to satisfy that need at your splendid establishment. I fear my funds are somewhat depleted at the moment, but no doubt I can provide payment by entertaining your good customers with my songs and stories. How say you?
We don't take theatricals.
No. Listen, innkeep, I know I'm a bit short of the ready at the moment, but surely we can come to some sort of arrangement. It's going to be a bitter cold night tonight, friend.
We don't take theatricals. Now, open!
Why not? Oh! Open this door, you son of a bitch, or I'll use my magic to make you even uglier than you already are! I'll give you fleas and boils and warts and piles. I'll give you warts on your piles. I'll shrink your manhood to an acorn and turn your nose inside out. Now open this bloody door!
The shutters opened above him, and Jordan caught a glimpse of a chamber pot.
Get the hint!
No. Well, the food didn't smell that good anyway. Ungrateful peasants! Don't know a class actor when they see one.
He started back down the street toward his caravan. It looked like he'd be sleeping with his props again, and that damned demon was starting to smell something fierce.
Huh? Who's there?
He scratched thoughtfully at his ribs, letting his hand drift casually down to the sword at his side. The sound had come from the nearby alley, but Jordan couldn't see anything in the darkness. Surely it was obvious to anyone with half the brains they were born with that this particular actor had nothing worth the effort of taking. But it was best to be wary. A starving man would murder for a crust of bread. Jordan's hand idly caressed the pommel of his sword, and he eased his weight onto his left foot so he could get at the throwing knife hidden in that boot if he had to. And if all else failed, there were always the flare pellets he kept concealed in his sleeves. They might not be quite as effective as they appeared on stage, but they were dramatic enough to give most footpads pause. He swallowed dryly and wished his hands would stop shaking. He was never any good in a crisis, particularly if there was a chance of violence.
Stay back! I've been trained in the deadly art of swordplay, and I won't hesitate.
Easy, my dear sir. We mean you no harm. We only want to talk to you.
We? There were several. Jordan thought seriously about making a run for it. Whenever anyone started talking that politely, either they were intent on telling him something he really didn't want to know, or they wanted to sell him something. On the other hand, he wasn't that fast a runner at the best of times. Maybe he could bluff them. He held his head erect, took on the warrior stance he used when playing the ancient hero Sir Bors of Lion's March, and glared into the gloom of the alley.
Honest men do their talking in the light, not skulking in back alleys. Besides, I'm rather particular about who I talk to.
Oh, I think you'll talk with us, Jordan. We're here to offer you an acting role, a role beyond your wildest dreams and ambitions.
Jordan was still trying to come up with an answer to that when the three men stepped out of the alley mouth and into the fading light. Jordan backed away a step, but calmed down a little when they made no move to pursue him. He quickly resumed his warrior stance, hoping they hadn't noticed the lapse, and looked the three men over carefully from behind the haughtiest expression he could manage. The man in the middle was clearly a noble of some kind, for all his rough peasant's cloak and hood. His skin was pale and unweathered, and his hands were slender and delicate. Presumably this was the owner of the cultured voice. Jordan nodded to him warily, and the man bowed formally in return. He raised one hand and pushed back the hood of his cloak, revealing a hawk-like, unyielding face dominated by steady dark eyes and a grim, humorless smile. His black hair was brushed flat and heavily pomaded, giving his pale skin a dull, unhealthy look. He was tall, at least 6'2", probably in his early 40s, and looked to be fashionably slim under his cloak. He wore a sword at his side, and Jordan had no doubt at all that this man would know how to use it. Even standing still and at rest, there was an air of barely contained menace about him that was unmistakable.